I'm discovering more people who are finding out how Instagram sucks, and Anna Strauss is proof of that. Dave has a cool app to talk about. It does something that iOS 16 can do, but it might just do it better. We bore you with our recent photos, and we find out who wins a free year of glass when we play Wheel of Glass. All this coming up on the iPhonography Podcast. It's Monday, August 15th, and this is the iPhonography Podcast. I'm Greg McMillan, and I'm joined by my good friend, Dave Podner. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Greg. How's it going this week?
It's going pretty good. We are in the mid to late stages of summer. I know you kind of kid me about having 3 weeks or what is it, 3 weeks or 3 hours of summer.
You get 3 hours of summer and then the rest of bad sledding.
Yeah. But no, it's actually been quite nice. And you know, we do get pretty hot weather, but and actually it's going to get kind of warm this week. So it's not over yet, and it's not going to go down without a fight.
I know. And honestly, a lot of the kids are going back to school now.
They don't start school here until after Labor Day.
See, that's some schools here start it now. And some schools start it in like the week before Labor Day.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all depending on the school district. It's all up in the air. But I know a lot of the colleges are going back already.
Yeah. Well, I think some of the colleges might start early. Yeah. I'm not sure. But it's been so long since I've been to school that.
I know. Well, even though we're still mid-August, I'm still going into the store and seeing tons of pumpkin spice stuff already.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
It's the cereal. All the cereals have pumpkin spice, the Twinkies and all those assorted food, if you want to call it that, are all pumpkin spiced flavored.
Yeah. Retail is ridiculously ahead of everything else.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So tonight we've got a pretty good show. We're going to talk about a few things here. I'm going to start by talking about, it's no secret that, I'm a real proponent for the fact that Instagram sucks as far as for photography goes. I mean, it's still fun to go on there and watch some reels and stuff like that once in a while. But when I signed up for Instagram, it was for the purpose of sharing photos. And I mean, it was the same for everybody. Over time, that's changed. And I found one of the folks on Glass that I follow has put a link in the description of a self-portrait that she put on there. And her name is Anna Strauss, and she's from Dubai. And on her blog or her website, it's called playingwiththelight.com. And I'm going to link to this in the show notes. The title of her post is, it pretty much sums it up. And it's a long title, but it says, you can't glue back together the broken pieces of Instagram, but you can have a full glass of wonderful photography. So you could pretty well imagine where she's going with this. And she talks about, you know, what Instagram used to be like. And, you know, she's correct. It was a great place to share photos, build a nice community. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met so many people, albeit virtually, through Instagram, and followed their, you know, photographic journeys and all that stuff. And, and so she's right about all that stuff. But then she goes into what she's not liking about Instagram. She's still on there, as am I, and you are, Dave. And I mean, probably just what anybody that's listening is probably still on Instagram. And then she talks about how Instagram is broken. So I'm not going to go into too many details about any of this stuff, but this is basically what this article is about. And so then, of course, obviously she's going to talk about glass and how she likes it. And my favorite quote from her in this article is, "It is always better to be part of the VIP club than yell in a crowd of yelling people where nobody listens to each other." So that's a pretty good comparison, in my opinion anyway, between Glass, which I think is what she's referring to as the VIP club, and then the crowd of yelling people where nobody listens to each other, which is Instagram. So I really thought that was an interesting thing that she said about it. You know, it's obviously how she feels about the whole thing, and she does some really nice work. So I will have the link to her her article and her Glass account as well. You can check out her work. She's a really good photographer. Does some really nice stuff. So you know, I'm not going to go on too long about this Instagram versus glass thing. I'm always going to go on the side of glass. That's just where I am now. And you know, we're going to be talking about glass a little later in the show too, because we're going to be talking about the winners of the giveaway. That David Agee, he gave us some codes to give to people, and we're going to draw their names live on the show later on. So stay tuned for that. But I just wanted to get that out there about this article, and I thought it was pretty cool. So Dave, you have some stuff to talk about with regards to an app.
Right.
So why don't you just take it away?
No, thanks, Rick. Yeah, this is an app that I use occasionally. Called Photo Room. It is a free app. It's free, but if you want everything included, you do have to pay for additional. Mm-hmm. I think the free is good enough for what most people want. Let's say if you're running a business, and because this is really useful for making product shots, and you don't want to learn Adobe Photoshop and all the skills necessary for that, I could see it, because like I said, we'll go over some things you can do, but it's either $10 a month, which is pricey, or $70 a year, which is still a little pricey for what you're getting out of it. That's still, you know, $5 a month.
Yeah. But like you said, if you're running a business, I mean, it could probably be very beneficial.
Exactly. Exactly. Or honestly, the nice thing is, and this is something I didn't realize too, you point out, they have a online web. You can do things through the website, their Photoshop Photo Room website, which is similar to the app in terms of what it can do. The strong point here is it can remove objects from photos and either create a white background, black background, transparent, or it gives you a lot of templates that you can follow that fit certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
kind of like that feature in iOS 16 where you can extract the subject of out of an image.
Right.
But it does a lot more.
It does more, exactly. So part of it is just removing and making it transparent. You know, that's part of it. But if you take a photo and, you know what, even though we're not really doing video, I'm going to share my screen here so Greg can follow along with me. Also, in case Greg has any questions.
Yeah.
And let me just make sure that. Okay, there we go. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you open up the app, it gives you kind of the basic three options with a white, black, and transparent, some basic tools. Things like profile pics. So you can easily, if you have a picture of yourself or someone else.
Oh, that is cool right there.
So it's a square background with a circle, with like a highlighted circle. So the outside is white and the circle part is different gradients, colors.
Mm-hmm,
and you get so much for free. But if you want to do more expressive, that's where you pay for the pro.
You know what I like about that right there, Dave, is the fact that, okay, so the image that they show in the app is a picture of a woman, and her hair goes beyond the circle part into the white background takes up the rest of the space. Mm-hmm. And then there's you can have it so that there's a white outline around the person or not, but it's really cool.
Yeah, and it's very customizable. So if you don't want white, you can actually paint different colors too. So they also have different templates for like Instagram stories, regular Instagram, TikTok, YouTube covers if you want to do that.
Right.
Magazine covers if you want to go back to like old-fashioned Photoshop that people used to do back in the day to show off your skill. little portraits, different shop categories or sales. If you sell it on Poshmark, like different categories, they even have a podcast cover
template here.
So it gives you, and it's all this, like a lot of this is free, like sell juices and drinks, but you can different portraits, ID photos. So normally how you would start, I normally start by just at the very bottom, it's just start from photo. So it just brings you up to your photo app here. And it works best if you can find a photo where there's just a person's face in it or something in it.
Yeah.
So
like I'm going to
do, exactly. So I'm going to do this one photo here of my dog, Charlie.
Profile. I was just looking at that one. I thought that would be a good one.
And it looks like it's scanning it. And so it takes out the main part of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And then it puts that image that you scanned in everything that you saw earlier.
Yeah, all the previews.
So all the previews are here. So you have like original, you can do a blur, you can do a color splash, you know, different social there, different magazine covers.
How does it look on the podcast one? That's one, the one I'd like to see.
Okay. Okay. So let me get down to the podcast cover. So
there they are. Oh, yeah. That's cool.
So let's do. So there's one here, which is a polka dot background with a overlay that says new podcast. Now, all you have to do is click on a feature here. And, you know, let me just. You can adjust a lot of this. So let me just go. Let me do gone to the dogs. Now, if you don't particularly, you can just move it around the screen.
Yeah.
If let's say you click on like right now, I just clicked on some of the images here and I can change the coloration there.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
And of course you can always go back. Or you can
when you get that done, you can save that, right?
Right. It's just an image.
Okay. So go ahead and you know, when you're done, go ahead and save it.
Okay.
And then send it to me and I'll make sure we use that as the image in this section of the show on the podcast app. That's what people will see.
Now, one nice thing is the background here where it's the polka dot here.
Yeah.
You can actually replace it with any photo you already have downloaded.
Oh, okay.
So if you just wanted to put another photo back there, you could do that.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
And this thing has a mask on it. Then you can just work on the mask also. So you can actually, down below, it gives you like, it's basically layers.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can adjust these layers as much as you want. You can change the how opaque it is. Contrast, you can do all this. And like I said, this is the free part. I'm going to go back just to put the things there. So all the, and then you can add, you can actually insert other photos in, you can insert different text in there. They even give you the background and what you can do with that in terms of blurring or filtering it. So there's a lot of options here. If you want to just to say, okay, well, I have a picture. And like I said, you just kind of export it and then save it. Now, it has a logo on it, but in my mind, I don't mind the logo because it's free.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of other like templates here and other things you can do. And you just, there we go. We get the art collection here.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so it's pretty versatile. Even the free version is really versatile.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what it can do here. And there's a thing here, which I'm assuming they update every so often, but there's an Independence Day one here.
For the various holidays and stuff.
Yeah. And a lot of this you can update. Again, you got backgrounds you can change. It even notices I have a dog here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they do have an Instagram thing, of course, that has own little tutorial and how to make adjustments. And
yeah,
so it kind of gives you a little tutorial to help you out with what you're trying to do here.
Yeah, so that's kinda cool.
Yeah. So it is, it's a nice little app to let you do, let me stop here. It's a nice little app to let you do, you know, a lot of stuff. And like I said, the fact it's free and it's relatively easy to just use. I did one that was a new podcast one for someone else just for fun. Yeah. And, but like, oh, you know, you don't want to have it as a white top and bottom. You can change those colors. You can change this. You can update this, get rid of one and have the background. So there's lots of little things you can add to it that'll actually add to the look that you're trying to get.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have a YouTube channel or, you know, if you have a if you do, if you sell products on your Instagram feed,
well, it even had a thing there for, let me actually get it back up here. It has a thing for Mercari, which a lot of people use for selling. So it already has template set up for that. Again, your Instagram feed, Instagram stories, Twitter, you know, automatically all set. There's even an upgrade your online shop here to help you out if it gives you, you know, different backgrounds for that. And eShop closet, jewelry it has set up here. So, you know, little things that could help you out, at least get started in terms of getting you in the right direction.
But I think where it shines, and I haven't tried it yet, but it looks to me like where it shines is how it so quickly and easily removes the background or gives you a solid white background or basically any color, really. And, you know, wow. Like you say, if you do product stuff, this would be perfect for putting those images together and in a hurry. Like, it works so fast. Now, and there's even a Mac version.
Yeah. And I'll also say this, that if you're not a fan of the cutout it's doing, it does let you manually adjust that.
Oh, cool.
So you can actually, you know, there's either an assistant or manual where you can go in there and say, oh, no, I want this instead, or I want to include this, or I don't want to include this. And I don't like the way the... you know, the computer figured it out. You can go in there and make minor adjustments on there.
Yeah.
So all that can be taken care of.
And, you know, you hear quite often of apps getting Sherlocked when iOS comes out with something new. Well, I can tell you right now, folks, even though iOS comes out with this really, really cool feature in iOS 16, where all you have to do is tap and hold to get the subject out of the image, and so you can copy and paste it somewhere else, this blows that away with all the different things that are available, you know, like even for free, like Dave says. You know, it's there's no threat from, you know, these guys are not threatened by Apple at all with all the stuff that they have in this app. This is really cool stuff. Yeah. So we'll link the their website and the app in the show notes so you can check it out. And it's free, so give it a whirl. Yeah, definitely. I am probably going to try this, and who knows? We may even have a new podcast cover someday down the road if I could just figure out the best thing to put on it. But yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that, Dave. That's that's awesome.
Glad to share.
And so now we're going to bore everybody to tears with our recent photos.
hopefully not, but
no, I know. Hopefully not. I'm always excited to see yours. And so do you have them up there, or do you want me to share the screen?
No, I do have it up. Have it up.
All right. So we'll go through yours. And the first one is a nice sunset with these clouds.
Yeah, this was right after sunset. And I just noticed that the clouds were just reflecting just a little bit of the orange from the sun in the sky. So for this one, I ran halfway up my back hill just so I could look over the house. And I like it because you also get the silhouette of the houses and the trees in the foreground.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you always say, and it's not a solid silhouette of tree. So, you know, you can see the holes in the, you know what I mean? Yep. Holes into trees.
Yeah. You can see through where there's no leaves. Yeah.
And I like the way the clouds were just kind of bent around. You know, it wasn't like a straight cloud. It had a curve to it.
Yeah.
So it had a nice little curve kind of going away.
And so was this a Polar edit?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Okay. But not just a little tweak, just a little tweak. Not a lot. Cause I took another picture like 3 or 4 minutes later, maybe 10 minutes later, and it went into night mode.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like right at sunset. It's one of those, you know, oh, the sky looks interesting. Let me run out and try to take a picture of it. But yeah. You know, if it's one of those, it's going to take me 10 minutes to get set up, it's gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, I just like the way the clouds went and the blue versus the orange of the sky.
Yeah.
So it just
it's always nice neat the way. It. Yeah, it's always neat the way, you know, the right by the horizon, it's still fairly light. But then you get up to the top of the frame and it darkens down pretty good. And I do see what looks like probably a planet left.
Yeah. I'm guessing. I'm not sure what it is, to be honest. Either. I don't think it's a star. It looks more planet like than star, but I don't know.
Like it looks like it's astronomy is Jupiter or something.
Right. My astronomy is not so strong right now to say, I know that, you know, on this date at 8 something, what planet would be there, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's cool. So next we have a moon.
Right. Now, this one is heavily edited, obviously. This is going for a walk on, I don't remember what it is, Sunday afternoon. I like doing, especially when it's like a wide shot like this, shooting in 16:9, even though I know we can edit it after the fact, just having that shot where it's framed 16:9. I just kind of like the look of it. So there was just enough of a breeze where the river was rippling here. And I liked it that there were a couple boats in the middle of the river off on the right.
Yeah.
And someone on the shore there, I think he was picking up trash.
Oh,
just doing like a cleanup.
Yeah.
Now this was zoomed in, so I did have to go beyond the 3x zoom. So there is some digital zoom and some artifacts here, unfortunately. Again, it would have been nice if Apple would have came out with the Periscope zoom last year or even this year, but it looks like it's going to be next year.
Yeah.
And I did some dehazing here just because when you get into the digital zoom, it tends to get a little hazed out. Yeah. So I had to do a little hazing and decropping, a little dehazing and get rid, you know, just pop the colors a little bit. And I completely replaced the sky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this day was 100% overcast. This was a gray overcast day, completely gray. And so I went into a PS camera, did a replacement for the sky and boosted the colors a little bit to give it a little reddish there on the right to make it. And the thing is, from the direction, that would have been the correct direction for a sunset.
Okay.
But yeah, no, this was the sky's 100% fake. 100% fake here. So,
well, I probably might not have known that had you not said anything.
and I did boost a color on the river to give it a little bit of a purplish tinge to it because it did not look like it did. Sometimes when I start off with a photo, I go with, oh, wow, that's a good photo. And you start to work on it. You're like, it didn't capture it or didn't do what I thought in my head, or maybe what I thought in my head wasn't as colorful as it actually was. So sometimes I go with a more expressive slash fake landscape per se, and use the photo as a starting point, if you will. Mm-hmm. Because everything in the foreground was there. I didn't add or subtract anything from the foreground. The sky was replaced. The colors were pretty, the colors in the ground were pretty much there. I just kind of over boosted it to where they went not realistic, but close to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it turned out to be a cool image. Like, the color in the water, you know, really adds to it. Mm-hmm. And the gradient across the sky is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You made it look pretty convincing because the way the moon is, the sun is obviously to the right of the mm-hmm. frame shining on that moon. So it's naturally going to be like an orangey right. color compared to the rest. And it's obviously hitting the clouds.
Yeah. So and that PS camera app does a great job with sky replacement.
Yeah.
Because you can notice that the trees on the horizon, it does a nice job with cutting out the trees and getting the sky looking like, because the trees have a broken horizon on it. So you can actually see in between the trees and look at the horizon look at the sky you put in,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty nice job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, and Adobe. It is Adobe who puts this out. So hopefully they're really good at it.
Yeah, you'd think they would be, hey? Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. So the last one is, now, are these turkey vultures?
I think they are, yes.
Yeah, they kind of look like it.
Yeah, and actually, and I don't know if this would, I'm assuming this won't work with the pictures that are in the the ones that come with the podcast, but this is a live photo.
Oh, yeah, it'll work. Yeah.
Okay. So if you actually hover over it or whatever you have to do to actually have a look at it, you can actually see them fly.
Yeah. So I can do that back in messages.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Because it'll just be a still image by the time it hits the podcast. Right.
So these are three different birds that were, unfortunately, there was some type of roadkill. I don't know what it was. On the road, it was actually so old that you just saw it as a pile of flesh. You didn't know what it was. Yeah. You didn't know what it was. I'm assuming like a raccoon, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Could have been. I don't know. Even with that, when I drove near it, they all flew away. But I did get a photo of them after they went on the trees, and I kind of stopped the car. It was a back road, so luckily I didn't have any traffic behind me, of them actually flying down from the trees.
Oh, yeah.
So I did catch them mid-flight. I tried to do some work in Polar in Pixelmator Photo, and it just didn't look great. Admittedly, like I said, in terms of a live photo, this was a relatively bright, sunny day. I was inside my car with the window up. So everything was kind of, but doing it in the base photo app, I was able to get it to where the birds, you can actually see the coloration of their feathers.
Yeah.
And you actually get some halfway decent detail for all that's going against you.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen to try changing the key photo, the key frame, when you're editing the live photo?
Yeah, I did. Because the one it picked originally was it where the bird just on the trees.
Oh, okay.
And so I selected the one where they were like mid-flight because I wanted two of them have their wings fully out.
Yeah.
And one looks like it's just starting, and it's kind of, unfortunately, it's kind of a blur, the one on the bottom. But the two in the flight, they have the wings fully out. You can see their beaks. And there's some kind of vultures.
Yeah. Well, shooting through a car window is difficult at
some additional at the best issues, times,
you know, just because of the film that they put on the windows and things like that. So it alters the color on you. And I've tried it before, and I know it's it, I was so disappointed when I got home after shooting these big waves down at the bay. And I was shooting them through the window because it was so windy. There was no way I was going to stand outside and get it.
Oh, right.
And when I got them home and started looking at them, they're all like a real green tinge,
yeah,
you know, to them. And so, you know, with that considering that, to get them in flight like this is pretty cool. And it's not often you can get a good shot of a bird like this in flight with a phone. So, you know, kudos for capturing it to begin with.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Yeah. And it, like I said, just driving by, it was like, you see these, like, ooh, they're quite large.
They're big.
Yeah. They're big. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So my three, the first one here is, these old birch trees, and you can't tell by looking at them because they're silhouetted, but it's a sunset. And I missed the best light in this sunset. I got down there about 10 minutes too late, down by the water side, down by the bay, in the little city where I live here. And so I did a 3-minute shot with reflex, and you know, so that just smoothens out the water.
Mm-hmm.
There is one strip of color going up through the sky from about 2/3 up on the left, and then kind of goes up towards the top right. And that kind of, I had to really saturate that to get it to really show well. But, you know, this was probably the best shot out of the bunch that I tried. And obviously the sun has already gone down, and I'm just so, I always get to these sunsets after the best light. I got to learn that I got to be there about a half hour before sunset.
Right.
Just to make sure I get the good light. But so I, you know, when I put this on Instagram, Reflex picked it up and put it as a photo of the week a couple of weeks ago.
Ooh, wow.
And so, you know, they give me a 20% off of a purchase on their store. So I bought a neutral density filter and holder. So it's gonna, I'm gonna try that out one of these days with the Re-Expose app, and it should help with the long exposure stuff in brighter light. So something I didn't have yet. So I thought, well, I'm going to give that a try and see. But, you know, so thanks Reflex for the deal and for picking this photo up. And yeah, so that's a blurry sunset with really crisp trees in front.
Yeah. That is in the tree. And honestly, if you would have told me this is in winter, I would have believed you.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the, you know, the trees having no leaves or anything on it. And with the long exposure, the lake looks like ice almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of how it smooths everything out. So it has that kind of sheen to it there.
Yeah. I have shot this part in winter. I don't know if I've done it at sunset or not, but I have done it in daylight where, you know, these trees are sticking out of the ice. And I'm just glad that this, like, the city has revamped this whole area along the water here. They've really cleaned it up nice. And there was a lot of shrubs growing and stuff like that. They've cleaned it up and made it look a lot nicer. And I'm glad that they haven't taken these dead trees out, because so many people capture them with their cameras. You know, a lot of the locals will go down and shoot them and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to see. And so that's a sunset. My next one was inspired by a good friend of mine, Randy O'Hara. I interviewed him before the podcast changed to the way it is now, back when I was doing the interviews. And so, I mean, him and I, we've known each other for, oh gosh, over 30 years. We work in the same place. That's where we met. And, you know, we've been photographing together for all these years now and again. And he put out to this local market that's about 15 minutes out of town. And the little town is called Katy. So you could see Katy Market, the sign there. And he took one like this, where there was a little girl standing with his, with her back to him, and but she wasn't moving at all. So she is nice and crisp and clear. And I was hoping that this guy in the black t-shirt wasn't going to move when I did this one. And it was only a 3-second shot with Spectre. And but, you know, people were moving and, you know, there's a lot of hustle and bustle. It's a very busy market, and it's every Tuesday throughout the spring, summer, and fall. And, you know, I was really inspired by the shot that Randy took. And so I thought, well, you know, I want to get one of them myself. So I was out there a couple of weeks ago, and I just walked to this spot where the sign was. And now his was a vertical, so I did a horizontal. And, and that's basically it. It's a great place to go out. I, you know, you could spend probably 2 hours out there shooting just, you know, different things that the vendors have, you know, produce. There's like, it's in a farmer's field. It's like, it's a huge market. And, one of these days I'm going to go out and spend more time shooting different things and, you know, just, kind of take the Jack Hollingsworth, approach where you just see something and you just start shooting. And I mean, he would get lost in here for like 3 hours. I could just see it because there's so many different things. And you know, you might even get lucky and get people to pose for you for portraits and stuff. And I just don't have the nerve to ask them.
Well, yeah, that is an issue. That is an issue always.
But you never
really want to go. Especially if you're doing it, you know, it's really sometimes hard to go up and say, hey, can I take your photo?
Yeah, yeah. But Jack has a real special knack for it because he managed to get a lot of portraits, you know, with his phone. So hopefully he'll school us on how to do that someday. But yeah, this was inspired by my pal Randy, and I wanted to, you know, capture an image like this. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. Nobody's identifiable, so that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, everybody's just a blur.
With the blur, that's one thing that helps is that you can't just pick out somebody.
Right, yeah. So that's the old market. Now, my third one is hydrangeas. And now this was in a little flower like a bunch of flower beds and stuff down at the down at by the local arena, which is again by the bay. And there's a club in town that looks after these gardens. I guess it's the garden club or whatever. And I took this is the second shot I took. The first shot I took with halide using the depth mode.
Okay.
But you know what? It didn't work.
Oh.
Because this big area of negative space on the top left was almost as sharp as the flowers in the foreground. Oh. And it didn't differentiate it very well. So I did it with the Apple camera in portrait mode, and it came out great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it made that separation because that's probably a good 20, 30 feet between the hydrangeas here at the front and the immediate background. And
I mean, that kind of shocks me that halide had that issue.
Yeah, yeah, it failed on it for some reason, and usually it's pretty good, but yeah. And then I was surprised that the Apple camera, the portrait mode, was able to still pick up the tall hydrangea there. But yeah, it nailed the shot. It really nailed it.
Well, yeah.
So from what I liked about it,
it did a great job at it.
Yeah, yeah. And so all I did was I did my usual color contrast, you know, different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the Photos app. And you know what? I'm using the Photos app for editing a lot more than anything lately.
Yeah.
I'm just really, really liking how it does it. But you know, I did my usual brightness, saturation, that sort of thing. But with portrait mode, of course, as you know, you can adjust the f-stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I played around with it so that it didn't look, you know, too phony. like right. it could sometimes. I tried to oh, make yeah. it look like it made sense, that the blur was like it made the blur look unnatural. So, you know, I forget what I had it set at, but, you know, I always go from one end of the scale to the other when I'm doing an edit, just to see just right. what is possible one way or the other. And then I settled on whatever it was. I think it was like F4 or something like that. But I did what caught my eye about this in the first place was not only the fact that I could do it in depth mode or in portrait mode, mm-hmm. was the light, the way the light was shining on the top, and almost like a far sight, because I was kind of shooting towards the sun.
Okay.
And then the front part, the part of the flowers that's facing me was basically in shadow, and I was able get the detail.
I wouldn't have guessed it was in shadow.
Well, not maybe in shadow is the wrong word, but it's not facing the sun. Like the sun is facing, right. you know, the back side of the flower. So uh-huh. I guess it would be kind of in shadow, but it's yeah. But I was able to bring the detail back out of it in the edit, and mm-hmm. and give it some definition and whatnot, just to you know, so you can see the detail in each of the little petals.
Mm-hmm.
So
and it, like know, I said, it did a really great job around the edges too.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Usually, Halide does a better job of that, but this time the Apple camera seemed to nail it. Maybe it was because I was shooting in the sun and it was brighter, and I was able to get a faster shutter speed or something. I don't know, but I was pretty impressed with the, mm-hmm. the way it worked compared to Halide for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. So that is the recent photos, and you know, I hope you've enjoyed watching them on the screen of your phone as you listen to the show. You can see them there, and now we are going to pick some winners. So before we do that, I got to share my screen with Dave, because we're going to do this live. So we've got
Wheel of Names.
Yes. It's on the Wheel of Names website, wheelofnames.com. It's a great way if you need to pick a name for anything. This is a great way to do it. So I've got the fact that I'm giving away these codes for a free year of glass, I put them in two groups on Facebook. I put them in the iPhonography podcast group, and I put it in the Bloody Legends group for Shane Mawson's YouTube channel. And funny enough, only one person in the podcast Facebook group, only one person in the comments, I asked people to comment on the thread, and then I would pick a winner. Well, only one person commented that wasn't already on glass in the iPhonography podcast group. So that lucky winner is Robbie Mattson. We don't even have to spin the wheel to pick that one. So, Robbie, I will be getting in touch with you and get that code to you so you can download glass and enjoy it free for a year. And mm-hmm. I think you'll be quite pleased with what you see there. So now in the Bloody Legends Facebook group, we have 11 that are eligible. Anybody that's already on glass, I'm sorry to say, I'm not going to put them in the draw, because this is for people who aren't even on glass, and I want, you know, to be able to get them to experience it firsthand. So I've got all the names. In the on this website, you put all the names in a list, and it populates them on this colorful wheel. And then all I'm going to do is I'm just going to click it, and it spins and makes a sound and all this stuff, and it's going to stop on a name. So the first winner is Mike Goen.
Yay!
So, so that's going to be the first one. Now I've got three more to do. So I've taken Mike's name out of it, and we will go again. So who do we got, Dave?
We have John Heidemann.
All right. that's another one out. Okay, and two more to go. And this one is Carrie. I want to say Santa Bryce. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I'm not getting the name right. But, that name will be in the list of winners. And then finally, our last one. Who we got, Dave?
We have Alex Gerontios.
Gerontios.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Alex. Again, sorry if we butcher the name, but.
Yep, most definitely.
Yeah, congratulations to all these people. And I will be getting a hold of everybody. And probably through the Facebook groups anyway, and we'll get these codes to you so you can I believe all you have to do is click on the link. It's basically a link to the App Store to take you right to the Glass app. Now, if you're on an Android phone, there will be I'm gonna have to get a hold of Daniel Agee and find out how they do that on Android.
They're going to have a website, an open web, I remember from the interview, and they're working on an Android soon.
Yes, they are working on an Android.
I hate to say soon. We'll see.
Yeah.
Hearing from other people who are also developers, it can take some time for Android versions to be developed, unfortunately, and that's out of the developer's hands.
Yeah. Yeah, but the nice thing though is that they've made the web interface look really, really good, and Glass's 1 year anniversary was going to be on August 10th, and that's the day that they released Glass Anywhere. And what Glass Anywhere does is it prior to that you had to sign up with an Apple ID and use the sign in with Apple thing. So that's why nobody else could use it other than people with iPhones or iPads. But now you can sign up with any email address and a password and use the browser on your phone or your computer even. And a little trick that I saw on Twitter was that if you sign up on the web, on their website, not in any app or anything else, depending on where you are in the world, sometimes it may be more than the $30 US for the year per year. But if you sign up at where, say, your currency is worth less than the US dollar, let's see, how does that work? Well, the conversation was this. There was a fellow who said it would, I said it would be like the price of a cup of coffee. And this fellow said where he was, it would be like three cups of coffee. Well, if you use the web, then it would be in US dollars. So it would be probably less. So if your currency is, if the US dollar is better to sign up with, sign up on the web, you get charged for the service in US dollars. And it would be less than it might be in your home currency. So not only that, but those who didn't win, you can still get the first year for $20 US with the link in the show notes. You'll see that it says it'll be the first link in the show notes right at the top of the list there where you can click on that link and it'll get you the first year of Glass for $20 US. Regularly, it's $30. So for me in Canada, it's like $36, $37 Canadian. That's just, you know, the difference in the exchange, right? So, it'll be really nice to see these folks on Glass. Mike Goen is a really good photographer. He does some fantastic astro work, and I really look forward to seeing him on there. Haven't really seen too much of the other folks' work. If I have, I'll probably know what to see it, but the names just don't sound familiar. But, I'm glad to see that they were showing an interest in it. And, congratulations, everyone. And we will see you all on Glass. So that's pretty cool. And I guess that's about it, Dave. I think we got ourselves a show.
Sounds good to me.
Alrighty. Well, tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as ProfPod. In the Facebook group is Dave Podner Jr. And on TikTok as ProfPodPGH.
Alrighty. You can find me on Glass at Greg, my first name. And you can find me on Instagram at McMillan Photo. Unfortunately, I'm not posting there as much, but I'm still there. And on Twitter, McMillan_photo, and all the other links you can find me at will be at about.me/McMillan. So thanks for listening, everyone. And I guess we'll see you on the next one.
Have a great one, everyone.